Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Let's get into the Word. Once again, it's nice out. My wife wants me to preach fast, so we can get going. But so I need to start off with this. I'm not sure how many have heard of this. It's the Marshmallow Design Challenge. The Marshmallow Design Challenge, and there's actually a researcher, his name is Peter Skillman, and he does these little bits of research throughout the nation. And so what he does is he gathers teams of four, and you get a marshmallow, you get 20 pieces of uncooked spaghetti, 1 yard of transparent tape, and 1 yard of string. And with those simple components, you have to build something as tall as you can, but the caveat is this, the marshmallow has to go on top. And so he gathers teams of four from around the world. He gets Stanford students, he gets engineers, people from the University of Tokyo, from Cal, he gets business students, all of them together. Oh, and did I mention who else he invited into this little bit of research? Four kindergartners, okay? And so after this, it's timed, and so afterwards they did it, and just let me just tell you, the kindergartners wiped out the Stanford students by 2-1. Kindergartners averaged 26 inches high in their buildings, and the business school students, less than 10. And so they obliterated everyone. And here was kind of the takeaway from that, is there's something unique to children. And I would just lay out a few things is this, is everything's possible to a child. They don't know they can't. Like if you tell me Stanford engineer students are in this contest, I'm out. I'm not even trying. Here's another one. Not only do they have possibility thinking, they also have, there's a deep humility amongst them. I don't know, but when the kindergartners got together, it was a level playing field. We're all kind of on the same plane, every idea. But the business school students, they're like, oh, no, there's hierarchy. He's smarter than me. I'll just fall down. I'll keep my mouth shut, that type of thing. And then lastly, that there's a unity. There's a unity amongst children, isn't there? Like, have you ever seen kids? They don't give a rip if you're white, black, Asian, Latino. They're like, hey, it's another kid. You want to be my best friend? Right? Isn't that how they do it? And so really now, I hope this makes sense. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 2-4, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. It says, and calling to him being Jesus, a child, he put him in the midst of them and said this, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so here's what you see is God calls us to come to him as a child, and it will unleash to us the power of the kingdom of heaven. I've entitled this kind of talk for us this morning is Humble Faith. Humble Faith. And what we're going to do, we're going to look at a passage this morning, and you're going to see some people are going to be like, forget you, God. I don't need you. I got this. I'm God. And their life is going to be confusion. But we're going to see another man who humbles himself and he bows the knee to God and submits to God's will. And God says, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And so you're going to see this humble faith. If we have some guests in here, we're actually it's number 7 in a series we've called Casket Empty. Pastor Bruce Ho preached last week, absolutely embarrassed the entire staff because he couldn't remember what Casket Empty stands for. But anyways, it's kind of an acronym that unpacks for you the storyline of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And we're in C, and C stands for creation. And this is actually a transitional message. We're going from creation, and you're going to be introduced to the A of Casket Empty today, and his name is Abraham. All right, and so if I can recap for us how we got to this point, you guys remember the first Sunday of creation, we learned about God and that he's good and he's powerful. And then the second week, we learned about humanity, that at the God created us as his image bearers to reflect his image in the earth. And then, unfortunately, we learned about sin. But it explains why the world is so messed up, because sin, it's been fractured away from God's original design. And then last week, we learned about Noah. And Noah, we remember that God, like humanity is spiraling downward so fast that finally God says, the imagination of their heart is wicked and evil all the time. And so God judges the earth with a flood. And I know in our PC 2019, we're like, how could he do that? And my question is you, how could he not? How could God, a righteous, loving God, sit back and watch everybody, mankind, sin against each other, abuse people, all these different, and not sit back and do nothing? Of course not. And so God, he judges, but in God's goodness, he picks out Noah and his family, and he rescues them. But do you guys, you remember the story? Like, Noah gets out of the boat, right? He and his kids, and what happens? The world just gets dark again. Like, I don't know if you know who comes from the lineage of Noah. If you pay attention, it's going to say this. There's going to be a group of people. They're called the Ninevites. Have you heard of them? God had to send a guy, Jonah, to Nineveh to try and get them to repent. Can I tell you what the Ninevites were known for? They were the first of mankind to invent torture to skin a man alive and keep him alive as long as possible. Like, there's a level of depravity and darkness. Do you know who else would come from the descendants of Noah? A group of people that they would found two cities you might have heard of, Sodom and Gomorrah. And that city, those cities were so wicked that God says, I'm just going to rain down fire. Like, I've been to some wicked cities. Anybody? How bad was it that God says, and he just lights that place up? And so there's another group of people that come out, the Canaanites. And let me tell you what the people, the Canaanites, did. They worshipped a pagan god. His name was Baal. Do you guys remember him? B-A-A-L. And Baal, he would actually was in love with another goddess. Her name was Asherah. And so they were like this god and goddess couple. And so what happens is the Canaanites thought when it rained, it was Baal making love to Asherah. And then she would conceive and bear forth a harvest of the fruit of the land. And so Asherah would give us her children to eat and consume. And so the Canaanites would give their children and sacrifice them on the altar back to the gods of Baal. Gets pretty dark pretty quick, doesn't it? See, because when we think, like, have you ever thought this? Like, God, just kill the bad people and let the good people live. And God's big idea, he's like, I did that with Noah, right? And so what we mean is when we say, like, Noah was good or righteous, we mean he was mostly good. But I don't know if you realize, but mostly good goes bad very quickly. Hey, by the way, and for the record, does anybody want mostly good? Have you seen AT&T, this new group of commercials, right? The tattoo artist, hey, he's good. He's got, what do you mean you're good? Anybody want to go to a mostly good surgeon? Anybody, right? Here's this produce. It's mostly good. The milk is mostly good. No, you don't want that at all. You want it good. And the problem is God says this, there's none good. No, not one. All right? And it sets us up for a Savior. His name is Jesus, but I don't want to give that away. That's later in Casket Empty. So today we're going to be the Tower of Babel. And so that's going to be found in Genesis chapter 11. And so remember, it's sinful humanity begins to reproduce in the earth. And what happens? They gather in this place and they attempt to build the Tower of Babili. Babili means the gates of God. And so they thought that the higher you can go, we'll actually ascend to the heavens and we will be God. The only thing is, I don't want to give it away, but at the end, they're not going to get Babili, but they're going to get Babel, confusion, all right? And so so let's read Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, says this. It says, now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there, confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord dispersed them from there over from over the face of all the earth, and they left of the building of the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because that there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Lord, I pray you give us great grace, ears to hear what we need this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me give you a couple observations from today's text. The first thing I want you to see is this, that the natural current of our world is actually away from God. And so I can tell like we're just a little bit like kind of a little sleepy spirit this morning. So can we participate in this part? So this is going to be great. I'm going to bridge the generations for us. So if you're 40 and older, you're going to know the songwriter is this John Kurtz. If you're 40 and under, you're going to know him as Uncle Cracker. Okay. And so, see if you get the lyrics, let me know. So it says, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. Wanna get lost in your rock and roll and thank you, awesome. And there is the condition of man's heart drifting further and further and further away from God. And so notice it says this, it says that the people began to move east. Whenever you see east in your scriptures, it's significant of a moving away. Like Adam and Eve, when they were thrust out of Eden, it says they moved east of Eden. That Cain kills Abel, and God drove him east, further and further away. And this sinful humanity goes east, and they settle in a place called Shinar. And so to be inactive, to be passive in your faith and your walk with God is to doom yourself and to drift further and further away from God. It's why you read in your New Testament, it's where to fight the good fight of faith, because it is a fight. And if you're ever passive in a fight, you're going to get worked, all right? And so if you don't believe me, just I'll use King David as an example. It says in the Old Testament, it talks about David, that it was the time for kings to go out to war. And David decided to stay home and in bed. And the next time we see him, he's having an adulterous affair with a woman named Bathsheba. And his whole world unwinds from there. There's another one. Have you heard of, we're going to read in a few weeks about a Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and it says they both grew so tumultuous, so prosperous in the land that they had to divide. And so it says that Lot went one way, Abraham went another way, and it says Lot set up his tent towards Sodom. And then the next time we read about Lot, he's living in Sodom. All right, and so we see that there is this drift that can happen to us. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says this, if I can find it, and I don't have it in my notes, so what do we have? This should be, so the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. For years, theologians, like, they're kind of wondering, hey, what does that mean? What does that mean? I think that there's an aggression to the kingdom of God, that it suffers violence, and violent, aggressive people take the kingdom of God by force. And so, in other words, we're not just passive agents and we just sit back, but rather we're diligent. We're in our Bible. We're reading. Listen, you are being diligent, violently possessing the kingdom of God by getting out of bed and getting here this Sunday. You are advancing towards God. You're not going east, but you're heading west towards Eden. And so I love stories about the Navy SEALs, any kind of thing like that is kind of cool. I got to go to San Diego to their base there, and I got to see Hell Week. If you're not familiar with that, it's they have 6 days where they don't sleep for 6 days straight, and they keep them moving 24/7, doing calisthenics, keep them wet in and out of the ocean, freezing cold. And so this is what they do, and the idea is to get as many weak people to quit in that time. And so day 3 is where they take them to the Tijuana mud flats. So they go from San Diego, they paddle down to the coast of the ocean through the night, and they get to the Tijuana mudflats, and there they're submerged into mud. I think we have a picture of it up to their chest, and they have to do calisthenics in the mud. It's like trying to move or exercise in wet cement, and they keep them there through the night. And as the men are shivering cold, the instructors are a stone's throw away around a campfire with hot coffee, warm soup. And then finally, one of the instructors goes over to the cadets, and they said, "Hey, we got a warm fire. Man, how would you like a hot coffee or a warm bowl of soup? All you got to do is get out and quit." And it says, it's in the story, and one story is told in the book, Make Your Bed. It says one of the students, he started to leave and head towards it, and someone tried to grab him and keep him there, and he wouldn't stay until in the background they heard another one of the cadets, and he started to sing a song. They don't reference what the song was, but they said it was a familiar song that everyone knew. Maybe it was Drift Away. I don't know. And then they all, suddenly one cadet after the next, they all began to sing. And that song drew the other cadet back into the group. And then the instructor says, "Quit singing! Stop singing!" And they began to sing louder and louder together. And that's what we need to do. That the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And if you see other brothers and sisters passive, just sitting back, you got to, man, warn them, encourage them. Remember Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail. What did they start doing? Man, they could have drifted away from God. God, how am I? I'm in jail. This is not working out. Like, and what? They began to sing and encourage one another. And so that is the power. And so can I tell you this? Like you encourage me. We do, we're doing this reading through the Bible in a year. I'm not sure how many. If you're not involved in that, it's amazing. I did not think it would be this cool. And so if you want to know more about that after service, please see Pastor Dottie, myself, or the Connect table. But we're reading through the Bible chronologically. And here's the thing. There's been Sam tried to call me out one time. He's like, "Hey, I didn't see that you read the passages the last 2 days," right? Like that. And so I'm like, "Oh, see, what is he doing?" He's like, "It's encouraging and stirring us up, keeping us accountable." Why? So we don't drift away. And so I want to encourage that. Here's observation number two is this. What are you building your life with? What are you building your life with? And so we read in our Genesis passage, it said, did you find it odd? It says that they built, they used bricks instead of stone, and they used bitumen instead of mortar. And it, like, why is that in there? It's kind of the Bible being weird. No, here's what you got to think of. Do you know who wrote the book of Genesis? It's Moses. Moses wrote it. He's writing to an audience that have been enslaved for 400 years. And you know what they've been doing? They've been building bricks and making bricks and building stuff. And so that audience would know, why would you use bricks instead of stone? Bricks are easy to work with at first, but they don't last. Stones last forever. And so they see the materials you're building with. They may be convenient or easy, but they don't last. And so that's why I wanted to ask the question, what are you building your life with? Jesus is going to say it a different way in the New Testament. You can build your life on sinking sand. It's going to be easy, not a problem. Or you can build it upon the rock. It's going to be a little bit more difficult, but I promise you this, when the storms of life come, one's going to be standing and one isn't. And so that's our decision today. What are you building your life on? Listen, I want to meddle a little bit this morning. I want my parents to pay attention to me. Parents, I want to encourage you. Man, parenting is hard. Sometimes it feels impossible. But here's what I want to encourage you. Fight for the real estate of your kids' hearts. Like fight. Begin to stick a landmark in the ground and saying, this is who you are and this is what we're going to do. Listen, there is such a pull to so many different things. And I'm for sports. I'm for all that stuff. Please do, but not at the expense of your kid's heart. And so please, please, I want to just appeal to everybody. And listen, can I tell you this? I've sat with more people who had just, they went through a season of craziness in their life, and then they come back to God. And as I begin to hear their testimony, inevitably, 99 times out of 100, yeah, my parents, they made me go to church when I was a little kid, you know? And listen, as much as they fight, kick, and scream, there's something that you're imparting. You're sticking a stake in the ground, fighting for the landscape of your heart. How about this, husbands and wives? Now, my first pastor, when we did pre-marriage, my wife and I, he says this. He says, Adam, he says, marriage is the closest thing to heaven on earth or hell on earth. He says, you get to choose. And I was like, thank you for that? You know, it's like, here's what I would say, husbands and wives. Man, self-giving is difficult. It's hard. It's scary. But here's the thing. It produces something amazing. And so you have a choice. You can produce a legacy by self-giving to one another and building your marriage upon a rock. Or you can just do what's easy and convenient, and you'll leave a mess. All right, I want to encourage us with that. And then I want to remember our singles this morning. And singles, let me just say this. In our world today, sometimes it's just easier to swipe right. All right? Can I say this? We've been waiting, we've been faithful, and it's easier just to settle. Hey, God, you know, I know the guy, hey, he says he's a Christian, you know, whatever. And you just settle. And listen, I want to encourage you that God, he's not forsaken. He's not abandoned, that he has. It's going to be different than you thought, but it's going to be better than you could ever fathom or imagine. Trust him. It's a humble faith. Here's number three is this. So who are you making a name for? So did you see that when they're building the Tower of Babel and the motivation behind it is this? We need to make a name for ourselves lest we be scattered. And so listen, I think everyone will aim. I'm so glad, like, the time we live in now is, I don't even have to preach this hard. How many could agree, like, trying to make a name for yourself is exhausting? In our social media, Instagram, Twitter world, it's relentless and nonstop, all right? You guys ever heard of Kevin Hart, a short comedian, hysterical, like, funny guy? It was funny. He did a movie. What was the movie called? I wrote it down. Ride Along. He was doing it with Ice Cube. Please don't watch it. But anyways, he's being interviewed about making the movie. And it says he got to his one scene and he was reading the script. They're doing a read through together with Ice Cube. And then he reads his part and Kevin Hart goes, say, man, he says, you better watch out. What you're believing, it's nothing but a facade. And then they go, cut. Kevin, you want to read that again? All right. And it's no problem, man. You better watch it. It's nothing but a facade. Cut. And then he goes, Kevin, what's that word? He says facade. Facade. Kevin, it's facade. It's facade. He goes, oh, that's what that word is? He goes, I knew what the word was. I just never saw it. And so can I just tell you, the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's all a facade. The whole thing is one big facade. Have you ever noticed? You ever seen like we take pictures of food now and post it, and it's always what? Filet mignon with a peppercorn sauce over the top and that. Did you notice what you don't do? Like 9 times out of 10 when you're eating Hot Pockets and Goldfish with your kids, we got Hawaiian Punch in a Dixie cup. Gramming that thing, right? You don't do that. But that's real life. How about this, like our spouses? Like you're just gonna do like you're out on this romantic date, like sunset in the background, and then you're just like hashtag still in love, right? And you watch that. But you know what you don't do? Like when you and your spouse are fighting over the credit card bill, hashtag what's in your wallet, right? Or don't worry, fella, I'll get the guys, right? But you don't have to take a picture of the toilet seat still up. Ladies, and you go, hashtag 7 years, the fool still doesn't get it, right? And so we don't do any of that stuff. And but the reality, why? Because it's all a facade. It's all a facade. It's false. And so, you know, psychologists, we've talked about this before, but psychologists have identified that there's a low-grade fear and anxiety in everyone. And it's called that we're afraid that we're going to get found out to be a fake or a phony. It's called the imposter syndrome, and that we walk in it. Some people more a higher degree than the others. And so I don't know if you get this, but so being like trying to make a name for yourself, it's exhausting, and it doesn't work because it produces anxiety and fear. What's the answer? Well, I'm glad you asked. There's a guy by the name of Tim Keller. He wrote a fantastic little book. It's one sitting. You can read it. It's called The Power of Self-Forgetfulness. The Power of Self-Forgetfulness. Easy for me to say. But here's what it talks about. It talks about that you and I have been created in the image of God. And then God, the God that we're created in the image of, he's three persons, one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And there's a unique love in the Godhead. God loves the Father, who perfectly loves the Son, who perfectly loves the Spirit. And you'll notice this, is that the Father, Son, and the Spirit, they're always other-oriented. The Father is always pointing to the Son and pointing to the Spirit. The Spirit's pointing to the Father and to the Son. And that's the way. And so you and I, as image bearers of God, you know, we've been created to be other-oriented. That our viewpoint is always supposed to be towards God and towards other people. And yet the reality is, what is our viewpoint predominantly? Boom. Self. We're self-aware. Some of us painfully self-aware. Like, you remember those painful teenage years? You know, like the teenagers where they just believe everybody's talking about them, right? And then you get in your late 20s, early 30s, and then you realize nobody was talking about you, right? And then you're like me, you get in your 50s, and you don't care who's talking about you, right? But here we see this. We need to get our eyes off of ourself. It's the most freeing. And here's what happens for us. When we get our eyes on ourselves, we begin to speak like Lucifer, who he would later become Satan. Lucifer was the great archangel. Here's what Lucifer says in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. Verse 13, he says this, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And so do we see this? I will. Self, self, me. And so that is Lucifer speak, all right? Do you know what Adam and Eve, when they sin against God and eat of the forbidden fruit, the first time we see the word I in the Bible is after the fall, and Adam says, I heard you. I was afraid, so I hid. It's starting to speak like Lucifer. But then we're going to be introduced today in Genesis chapter 12 to another man who says, I'm going to bow my knee and I'm going to humble myself to the God of the universe, and I'm going to be God who you say I'm going to be. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we read this. It says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We see this humble faith. As we humble ourselves under the word and the ways of God, God is the one who begin to lift you up. We see, and listen, God did a pretty darn good job with Abram. As Abram humbled himself to God, you know that Abram, that he was 4,000 years ago he existed. Here we are, 2019, we're still talking about this guy. I would say God made his name great. Do you know the three great monotheistic faiths point back to Abram? Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. I would say God did a pretty good job. And then do you know that Abram was called the friend of God? And here's another thing that shouldn't be overlooked, is Abraham would have a son who 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 would have a son whose name was Jesus. And he would come and he would rescue and he would bless the whole world. And then here's number four. Our last point is this, is there is a power in unity, right? There is a power in unity. We read this. God says nothing will be impossible for them. And so we see this, whether for good or for evil, unity is unbelievably powerful. Parents, I'll talk to you again. Man, let me say, I believe in original sin. And if you don't believe in that, just have babies, okay? And here's what your kids are going to try to do to you. They are going to try to divide and conquer because they're wicked little souls. And so the best thing you can do is stay unified. best for you and for your kids. And so humanity is united for evil at the Tower of Babel. And God's like, we can't have this. And so what does he do? He confuses the language and they scatter throughout the known world. You want to hear something, a little bit of trivia that's kind of cool? Do you know they found the oldest piece of DNA in Alaska, at least in North America, so in Alaska, and it was found to be, it originated in East Asia or where the Tower of Babel was. How cool is that, right? Archaeology is and science is lining up with the scriptures. And so so God confuses the language, and this is where we get all the nations. And so the people are scattered. And now here I'm going to conclude with this. Do you know what today is? Today is the day of Pentecost. It was the day 2,000 years ago when people were divided. And there was 120, about the size of this room, in an upper room praying to God. And then I'm going to read to you what happens in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. It says this, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from, get this, every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in their own language. God scattered the languages, but he would once again bring us back together and unite us as one. In an upper room, God burst the church, his people. And now, within unity, we're to go out and we're building not a tower, not a monument to ourselves, but we build the kingdom of God. And that's what he's called us to do.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.